Good evening, everyone. This is the WBAI Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the local station board treasurer, and I am the chair of the Local Finance Committee where I'm doing two things at once. All right. To guarantee that we, in fact, have a quorum right here, I'm going to do a roll call. So please answer up when you hear your name. William Heerwagon.
Yeah, present.
Noel Jameson. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza. Berthold Reimers.
Yeah.
Berthold.
Yeah.
Doreen Roberts.
Present.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Okay, that's six, and that's certainly a quorum. So here we go. The first order of business will be to draft an agenda. So hold on one second. All right, I'm having a small problem here. Okay. Okay, I move that we approve the following agenda. 1, call to order 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4, excused absences 5 minutes. 5, treasurer's report 20 minutes. 6, general manager's report on WBAI's finances 30 minutes. 7, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 8, continue working on the WBAI FY21 budget, 60 minutes. 9, new business, 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Okay, that's on the floor. Any debate or
Roberts.
Anything on this? Go ahead, yes, Doreen Roberts.
Okay, so the I move that the end time of the meeting be set at 10:15. We can always leave early, but it's currently 7:30. So that's my first motion.
Well, okay, yeah, we're starting late, but we're not starting 45 minutes late. Any debate on this?
I think your agenda times added up to longer than we have if we leave the end time where it was. So I think.
Anybody else? Oh, yeah. At some point, I will be taking another small thing of finding out who's on here, but that's more complicated. So we'll do that after we do the agenda. Okay. Any further debate on setting the adjournment time at 10:15 p.m.?
This is James.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't suppose this is should concern the rest of the committee, but I have another meeting to go to at 8:30, so it would be good for me if not too much happened while I wasn't here, but I realize the business has to get done. So I just want to make that comment.
Sorry. Green for the staff.
Go ahead.
Well, if the governance committee were meeting today, which as I told you all the last time we met, it was not going to, and it has been canceled. It's been canceled for a week on the KPFTX calendar, assuming you meant another Pacifica meeting. If it was something else, then that's a different matter. But there's no conflicting Pacifica meeting tonight. And if you were leaving at 8:30, even if we had started on time and ended at that 9:30, you still would have lost an hour somewhere. So not to worry. You're good.
Okay. Is there any other debate or anything else on this issue of making adjournment time?
Oh, I have a question. Sorry. Question here. So the first item says call to order 7 p.m. Unless we can time travel, we should probably strike that and just have call to order without a time, because it's now 7:33. We've been on, I think, with quorum for, what, about 6 minutes or something?
Well, I know you've been on these meetings all over Pacifica for a long time, and they usually all have in the draft agenda, they have a time when we're supposed to start, and that always does get included. And, yeah, we don't start on time. What Pacifica meeting ever starts on time? I don't know that we should start striking that, because then what? We're supposed to then go back and strike probably thousands of meetings that start out with a time. So I mean, do you really want to make that amendment?
Okay, so I will say this, that the time actually normally goes under the date of the meeting, and it's not part of the agenda per se. It's part of the identification of the meeting. So it would be WBI Local Station Board Finance Committee meeting, August 26, 2020, 7 p.m., which is the time for which the meeting was called. The calling of the time that the meeting will actually be called to order is never part of a proper agenda, because you can't possibly predict what time that will happen. But, you know, if it doesn't make sense to someone who looks at it.
I guess Pacifica has thousands of improper meeting times somewhere then. I mean,
like I
anyway.
Said, it's not worth arguing about. It's just wrong.
I agree. All right, anything else for the agenda here? All right, right now we have the amendment to make the adjournment time 10:15. Is there any objection to making the adjournment time 10:15? Hearing none, that's passed without objection. And now on the agenda as amended, is there any objection or any other amendments or anything else for the agenda as amended? Hearing none, agenda is passed as amended. Okay. Now right now what I need to do is I need to announce that okay, we have some members on here. We have some members attending, and are Noel Jamison or Matt Mazza on the line yet?
I'm here. This is Matt.
Matt's here. Okay. Noel, I don't think you're here yet. Okay. Now, for other folks, of course, the Pacifica Foundation bylaws say that you don't have to identify yourself to be on a meeting. So if you don't want to identify yourself, you don't have to. But if people want to become members of the committee, they do have to identify themselves. And so I will go through, I will ask now if people would like to identify themselves. If you want to identify yourself, you don't care about being a member, that's okay too. But I just want to make sure people, when I ask for people to say who's here, I want to make sure people understand they are not required to give their name or anything. All right? So I know Pat Logan's here. And is there anybody else who would like to identify themselves or who is thinking they want to become a member or anything like that?
Neil Voss is here.
Neil Voss, I hear.
Divine Salam.
Okay, Neil Voss, De Palma is here. Sharon Salam. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to take it that that's what we have at the moment. And go over here and put that in. Okay. All right. The next agenda item here is identify timekeeper.
I'll do it.
Who will do that?
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay. Jeffrey Stern has volunteered to take the time. And Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is now our timekeeper. Let's see. Next thing is, all right, excused absences. It is required that people announce ahead of time, tell us that they want absences excused. The only person who's a member who's not here is Noel Jameson. Noel, you here? I don't think Noel's here. But he didn't ask for one. I'm looking still. I've been looking. And no new messages. So we can't do excused absences. Okay. Nobody asked for one. All right. The next thing is a treasurer's report. And that's going to come up in another second or so here. And that is something I will do. Okay. At the August 11th, 2020 NFC meeting, the analysis of finances showed that WBAI was about $200,000 in the red for 6 months and about $214,000 in the red year to date. That's as of the end of June. And I brought that up and said the general manager of BAI said that BAI was only about 115 in the red. And this same issue came up at last night's NFC meeting. And the interim CFO was supposed to call the general manager today about sending him biweekly updates on payroll, health benefits, and stuff like that so that the general manager could plug that into his QuickBooks and maybe get the same numbers or very close to the same numbers that Nita has. So when we get done with this particular part of the meeting, I'll ask the general manager about that. Let's see. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see how that works. The FY18 audit is posted, but the FY18 and FY19 990s are not, even though we're told that they are completed. However, the thing is that they need to be amended. Both the FY18 and FY19 990s have to be amended, and in order to amend them, it turns out, the interim executive director has to fill out paper forms and mail them in. And, of course, the mail situation is very bad these days. I know that from personal experience. So there's going to be another delay in getting the final amended 990s posted. The engagement letter for the FY20 audit has been signed, and NETA and the auditors are actually already working on that audit. The NFC has been getting six-month rolling reviews of stations' performances. This is because of a motion passed on June 11th by the PNB saying that stations that are in arrears, that are in deficit, they have to come up with a plan to balance their budgets. And they gave them 1 week to do it, and, you know, basically it's not getting done yet, so it's a lot more than 1 week. And so basically we're looking at six-month reviews. Last night's rolling review showed WBAI as 100 from NETA showed WBAI as $160,000 in the red over the past 6 months up to the end of July, and $274,000 in the red for FY20. And so I guess we'll need to talk about that a little bit tonight. There was some dispute over the last two NFC meetings about whether or not Pacifica had applied for the economic injury disaster loan in time to get the $2 million version of that loan. And the interim executive director last night assured us that Pacifica did do it on time to get the $2 million. And the complication is that the WBAI general manager had applied for the grant himself, and even though he retracted that application, the duplicate somehow exists in the bureaucracy, and the government workers are rather confused over this, and that is causing a slowdown. The interim executive director has Kamala Harris's office is working on this because Kamala Harris is a senator from California, and the interim executive director and Pacifica are officially in California. So we have the vice presidential nominee working on her office, working on getting WBAI its emergency economic injury disaster loan done. So we'll see how that goes. There is a question of whether or not we're facing a September 30th deadline for all of it. Right now, the interim executive director still needs to send in a bunch of documentation for that loan. And she can't do it because they're not authorizing her to go to that next step because they're confused about what's going on. And there is a September 30th deadline. We are not certain if the September 30th deadline was for people to apply in the first place, which Pacifica has done and is officially acknowledged for having done, and which Pacifica got $10,000 for having done, or if the September 30th deadline is for getting everything done, in which case it's time to get a little bit nervous here because we're not in there yet. The interim executive director says that what's happening is the bureaucracy is jam-packed. If you try to call them up on the official numbers, you don't get through, and they're not answering those phones. That's why it's good that Kamala Harris's office is helping us, because that's the only way we can try to get any progress on it. And so, I don't know, it might be that they'll push the deadline back. It might be that the deadline doesn't apply to us because we've already gotten it in there. We'll see. We're going to find out about that probably at the next NFC meeting, which is going to be on September 8th. And all of the stations are working on their draft FY21 budgets, and it's going differently at different stations. And we're going to do some of ours here tonight. Okay.
Chair, may I recognize James for the point of personal privilege?
Hold on. That's a treasurer's report for right now, and somebody has some extra stuff in the background.
Hold on, I'll put it on mute.
Oh, good. Thank you. All right.
This is Mario. This is Mario, by the way.
Oh, okay.
How many people online, Paul?
Mario, do you want to be officially? Do you want to be officially here? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I do. Yes, put me back. Yeah,
all
put
right.
me.
You're in as attending the meeting. Okay. James Sagerton, you had something to say?
No, that was it. Just the background noise. I was hoping he could mute. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, so we have these. We have the treasurer's report. Are there any questions on the treasurer's report? Although I have something for the general manager right here. Bertold, did you hear the thing I was talking about? Did she call you today, Bertold?
No.
So the ICFO did not call you today. Okay.
She sent me an email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it was about this issue of maybe you will get the payroll and benefits expenses every other week. Is that it?
No. She was just asking me about some adjustment. She didn't call me about that.
Okay, so the email about adjustments to how you'll be able to enter stuff into QuickBooks and
QuickBooks?
Maybe get together with her, get closer to their numbers?
I do not believe so, TMRA. Okay, there are adjustments. You know, the adjustment we're talking about had to do with some entries, some bills that, you know, that were overseeing bills because Andrea had them. That's about it. She didn't ask me anything about ability to do anything with QuickBooks.
Okay. Well, the basic deal is that she's supposed to call you, and because there's a discrepancy between your QuickBook numbers and, like, you had 115, they had 200, or actually 214. And so there's a big difference there. So she is thinking that you are not putting in the payroll and the other expenses that they have, that they take care of. And so that's what the discrepancy is. All right. We'll
see
if they...
Yeah, I spoke to Jim about that. You know, what in your report? Let me just go ahead here. I went over that with Jim. Jim asked me the same questions. Payrolls are entered into the system in QuickBooks. We enter it as a bill, and when we send the wire, we post it as a payment. Same thing as healthcare charge. We put them as bills, and then we send them a wire, and we'll post the payment. There was one discrepancy is that the PPP loan that Pacifica received, when Pacifica received those loans, I put the bill into the system, and they told me I didn't have to pay it because Pacifica is taking care of it with the PPP loan. So I wrote credit from vendor. In other words, you have to write that those bills are paid, otherwise those bills are sitting in the book, and then I have to pay them, right? And so we have to talk about how that's done. And so what I did is I just removed the payment, you know, credit from vendor, and then they have to tell me how to enter that in the system because it has to show that the bill came in as a bill. You know, it's like we're doing accrual, budget, profit and loss, and then it has to show that somehow it was paid. How they want that done, I don't know. I didn't put that they were paid at all. I just left them there. So... And so we're going to see what they tell me to do, how they want to record that.
Right.
But normally the way it works is, like, for example, Gary Knoll, gives us a bill for premiums, let's say it's like $3,000. And then he has a retreat. And in the retreat, it generates money that we don't see. And he says, it was $2,200 from the retreat. So post that against my bill. So I would only give him $1,800. $800 instead on payment for the premium. So the $2,200 from the retreat would be a credit from the vendor against the bill. And that's what I thought I was going to do with the payroll for the PPP. But they have not told me how to do it yet. I give him access to QuickBooks. I can give him access to modifying things in QuickBooks so that they can enter it themselves, because I'm not an accountant. You know, this is a key account, advanced accounting, double entries to show the trails of the money, and I don't know how they want it done. So might be a part of the adjustment that they're talking about. And the other adjustments are like, accrued pension, and accrued whatever it is. Like, if they need me to do that, they have to let me know, because I don't have a bill for these things. You know, I put all the bills I receive in QuickBooks, but some of the things that the accrued they put in the system, pension, retirement, whatever it is, amount of money, I don't have those. I don't know how they do it. So if they need me to put it, they have to send them to me monthly so that I can enter them as a bill or as something in the system.
Right. That's what they were saying they were going to send you biweekly. That's what she was supposed to call you about today. I hope she will call you about it tomorrow. And yes, regarding the PPP money, it pays payroll and some other things. And they said we're required to keep it as expenses on the books, but, we're not actually paying it. So it's like cash in the pocket. And you really, you need to talk to them. And maybe it would be a good idea if you did, in fact, give them access to your QuickBooks. Then they could maybe send stuff right in there for you, and things would balance out.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or anything for the treasurer's report?
I have a question. This
yes,
is Sharon Kalam. Yeah, I know Berthold had mentioned, or you had mentioned something about this sum of money that had come in. When money comes in like that, is it designated for a specific thing, or you are able to spend it for anything you wish?
You mean the PPP loan?
Yeah, the PPP loan is...
$200 and whatever. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, those money, I don't see... okay, Sharon. I don't see that money at all. That's the national office has all that money. This is just like accounting entries. They decide, you know. Well, actually, they don't even decide. It was specifically for them to pay payroll and health benefits and stuff like that. So that's what they have done. They have told me that not to pay payroll and not to pay health benefits for four or five periods, but I've never seen the money.
Right.
Oh,
so
I see. So
yeah,
it's
very
difficult for you to balance off your budget or your ledger without having all these figures in place.
Well, they said I get the credit for it because they paid for me, but I don't know how to enter it in the system because they don't want me to enter that they paid for it. So it shows that it's a bill that's not paid. For example, it shows that, you know, we have four periods of bills of payroll that we didn't pay. Even though it's paid and we get the credit for it. But in my system, I don't have it as, because I did enter it as paid, but they told me that I should not do that. So I'm not sure what the entry is. And we've been having that conversation with Jim Sargerton and them, asking them what to do for a while. Because what happened is they want to see what our operation is, like what the real operation is. But my argument is the operation has nothing to do with the actual finance. You see, there can be an operational spreadsheet that shows how much money we bring in and how much bill we had. And then but the finance should show that those bills were paid by the PPE, but that's not my call to make. I'm not an accountant or a CPA.
Yes, this is why you need to get in contact with them so that your books will end up with their books. And the way it was explained to us by the ICFO and others is that basically we're making money on this. Specifically got a $1.2 million loan from the PPP loan, and a lot of that is going to become a grant. We won't have to pay it back because we're using it for payroll and health benefits and that kind of stuff. So, exactly. There's just a little bookkeeping issue here, but the bottom line is Pacifica made almost $1.2 million on this. So that's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Anything else for the treasurer's report?
Yeah. Yes. What is that kind of stuff?
Excuse me?
Like what else is this?
Health benefits.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, health benefits, and I think the pensions are in there, and there are some other things that have to be done that relate to payroll, relate to the workers, then that's all covered by the PPP loan.
Okay, so that loan only covers the people who are working at the station and their specific needs associated with their work.
I don't think it's put quite that way, but it's mostly payroll. Payroll and, other things such as the health insurance and the pension plan contribution and probably a couple of other things, but it's all of that kind of stuff that's related to employing people. So that's what it goes for. And it has gone for that, which is good because that means the money that went for payroll and all of those things, that's going to just be forgiven and the loan will turn into a grant, which is good. Okay. Okay, Serene Roberts, go ahead.
Okay, so, and by the way, Sharon, if the foundation uses at least 60% of the money, of the $1.2 million for staff salary and related expenses, then it becomes forgivable. I'm sorry, then it becomes a grant. Until then, or unless we screw that up, it remains a loan. So my question is, with regard to the money that was due CPB going back to 2012, to the audit they did in 2012, which we would have been expected to have addressed in 2013, which was $137,000 or so. I saw the breakdown initially, but I know there was some fundraising done, and I'm wondering whether whatever was raised was taken off the top, and then all stations were asked, when I say taken off the top, equally divided. So if they raised $5,000, did they say, okay, each station will have to come up with $1,000 less, or was it based on how much the people in governance at each station might have contributed, so that if our generous and wealthy board members gave $4,000, would BAI's bill have been $4,000 less, while, the $20 that all the other boards give might have given would just reduce their... How was that apportioned?
I don't know exactly how it was apportioned, but I know...
Are you talking about the BP? Oh, okay, I can answer that.
BAI,
the BPE loan,
No, I'm not talking about the
right,
BPE.
Berthold?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Berthold, BAI gave $42,000 or $43,000. I have the exact number here.
Yeah, we paid $43,000 of the...
What was our original bill, do you know?
That was
That's
our
what
bill.
I'm trying to find out.
That was our bill. For
so
the
what
CPB.
Was collected?
We paid $43,000 for the CPB, yeah.
Okay, so I don't think I need to make it a motion if the secretary agrees to raise it. The chair here is the secretary of the National Finance Committee, and if he agrees to raise it.
It was a portion of the bill, though. Like,
wait, hold on. Move to extend by 5 minutes.
Okay, there's a
question. I heard Jeffrey shout time.
No, I didn't even hear that. Okay, one second.
Didn't you say time, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Okay, so this motion to extend for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
unless others, I don't know if others
minutes.
Want to speak. I'm sorry, Paul?
Is there any objection to...
Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Speak is what I'm trying to find out. Okay.
Hearing none, is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes?
No.
Hearing no objection, we are extended for 5 minutes.
Okay. So I was asking about the old CPB money. Can you find out what, if anything, was collected? I know fundraising letters were sent out. I'm just wondering what the take was. That's one. And two, with regard to the PPP loan/grant, I mean, it goes without saying, but I'll say it, that some stations obviously benefited more from that than others, right? Because if your payroll was normally $20,000
versus $150,000, yes.
For example, don't interrupt. Let me get it out.
Sorry.
If your payroll was normally... $20,000, and we'll use your real 40, was $40,000, and we got 2 months worth, correct? So that would be four pay periods, roughly?
Yes, that's
right.
Because
it's always
80.
The 15th and the 2nd, right? So, yeah. Right. So then we would have gotten $80,000 out of it, but for a station whose payroll was $60,000, you know, they would have gotten $240,000, for example, out of it. So I would just, I know it's going to be forgiven because we're following the rules, but it would be good to see how much each station actually got the benefit of, if you will, including, benefits.
Yeah, the two big stations got $150,000 per month. So that's it. They got $300,000. About.
So can we ask the chair/national secretary to get us that information in writing?
Okay, I'll ask.
Great. Okay, and that was it in terms of my questions for the treasurer.
Yeah, that issue came up last night, and it was confirmed that the more people you had on staff, the more money you got. And KPFT was complaining because if the PPP loan, they said, had come through 6 months earlier, they would have gotten much more. On the other hand, it's all based on a pandemic that shows its own time frame. Okay, now let me see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just one more question.
Okay.
I thought I heard I didn't hear all of last night's meeting, so I don't really know what happened there. But you just said that it was promised that she would call Berthold today, this week, whatever, very soon. I thought I heard that at the NFC meeting 2 weeks before that. Wasn't the promise also made there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why it got brought up again last night and gone over in that way. So
Jim, maybe if she doesn't call you, call her.
Yeah, I'll call her. I didn't know. Talked to her from time to time. Pandemic has made it harder, but normally I would get her whenever I call her with no problem.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have like a minute left, I think. Anybody else have anything else on the treasurer's report? And if there's not, we can...
Oh, I have a request. Again, not a motion if you'll just agree to do it. Do I have the floor? Okay. So I've noticed that the chair of the National Finance Committee, who's a member of this committee, has begun, and I don't remember that Chris Corey was doing it, but anyway, I noticed it now for whatever reason, that he started doing something, chair's announcements at the start of the meeting. So again, I didn't get to hear much of last night's meeting, so I don't know if it was done then, but if it's going to be a regular thing, can you regularly pass it on to, and I assume it's sent written to the committee, can you regularly pass it on to this committee,
whenever? Last night's was not written, but stuff goes into the minutes, and that's some of what does go into the minutes, which will get approved, I believe, in 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to work on the more immediate delivery to the committee. But
Secretary of that committee has a lot of homework to do as it is.
Can we ask the chair of the NFC, who is a member of this committee, to share with this committee the comments when he presents them to the national committee? And it really should be in writing. It's easier for everybody. There's no misquoting if you put it in writing.
James, are you on the call? Yeah, I'm on the call. I was asking
if you would send this local committee a copy.
Yes,
of
I heard what you said. I just didn't understand that the chair had gotten what you said, and then the chair was recognizing me to speak, which he just did. So. Actually, they were in writing. They were part of the agenda that I sent around. And so the secretary does not, I guess, include the agenda in the minutes. He has asked me to read them. And so that's what I've been doing. I initially didn't want to take up time with the announcements in the meeting, so I had just included them on the agenda for general information for the committee members. I don't have any problem with making that available to the committee.
Thank you.
It would be great if you could send it out and also send out the agenda, because an NFC agenda hasn't been posted in advance in years.
Time is being called. Let me say, I looked at last night, and it looked like it was the same thing as from 2 weeks ago.
No, there were a couple of additions, but it was largely the same.
Oh, largely the same. All right, so I looked at the top of it and said it's the same. All right. Okay, there's that. All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Time has been called. And so our next item. Next item is the general manager's report on WBAI's finances. Go ahead, Berthold.
Well, since the last time I spoke to you, things are not really looking that good. The last 3 weeks of raising money has been very dismal. And starting August 12, 2020, there has been a significant drop in money making, even though we've had acquired new premium from Christian Blasdale, Tony Bates, Mimi, and so forth and so on. And, you know, we moved them different places. And it was abysmal. So we started monitoring things, and there were a lot of complaints about the call center. A lot of complaints. And we even have specific examples. I mean, I've called and been on hold for 5 minutes. Some people said, like, you know, that it took them 30 minutes to get a pledge in, like Errol Maitland, try to pledge in, and different people. And the most recent specific example was that two days ago, Matt, I was at BAI, and Matt received a call in the back from a listener who said, I want to pledge. He says, why don't you call the call center? He says, well, you know, I tried to pledge. I was online for a couple of minutes, a while. They couldn't take the pledge. They didn't know what it is that I was pledging for. And Matt went in. And Matt is not exactly the most tech-savvy person in the world. He just went in. okay, Matt. And entered the pledge in the system with no problem, very smoothly. And then he gave me the thing. He says, this is process paid. And so this is what has been going on. So unfortunately, such a discrepancy in the situation makes it difficult for us to evaluate whether or not the 52 weeks and then the goals, the daily goals that we have, make sense or not, because I was hoping to have another 3-4 weeks of data. So honestly, you know, we don't have much time left, but, you know, we need to evaluate what's going to happen. Starting today, yesterday and today, they started being more vigilant in answering the phone and taking calls. So I called the treasurer, Jim Sargerton, and we're discussing this, and we spent a long time investigating the call center, Cygnus, and Jim found out that the Better Business Bureau told us that their station in Tennessee does not exist anymore. That they don't answer phone call, email, and that, you know, if somebody has a problem with that unit, we may want to get a lawyer to figure out what's going on. So then we did more research and found out that call centers are as much of a hub for COVID-19 as the meatpacking industry. So they have been, you know, hit hard by that, and now they're having the people answer the calls from home. So my biggest problem with that is that I wish they had told me. So maybe I would not have done as much pitching and then putting in more programming to build listenership. So what we are doing right now is Grayson is at the station right now, and we have four numbers, 212-209-2950, and then the numbers go all the way in front in the pantry, which is dangerous in the age of COVID. So he's trying to distribute those numbers throughout, the station. One of the 2950 is going to go into my office. Two of them are going to go in the back where Matt is, and one by the window and one by the other computer. So we're going to see that as another alternative. And we're looking to see. Unfortunately, we don't own the 516 number, but if we did own it, we would have looked into how we can divert those calls to other places in times like that. Because we know we only pitch hard at 2-3 hours a day. We can probably hire people, have people have access to take calls and to be on call for those hours or two. And so that's what we're looking into right now. So this has thrown everything out of whack. Yeah, so we also, you know, experimenting with, you know, new shows or new, you know, like we have a few shows that we're given a 4-week trial and things like that to see, you know, to find different ways of doing stuff because we don't have too many pitching going on from our WBAI producers, so we're looking at other venues, other ways, and other people who, you know, who used to know how to pitch and used to make money. So that's where we at right now.
Is that your report?
That's basically my report. You know, so you know, it puts us in a bind because you know, making a decision on what will work with the budget, you know, is not obvious because we don't have enough data because of the situation. So we need more time, and then you know, that's basically it. Yeah.
All right. Can you tell us cash and bank?
Our cash in bank right now is about $8,000. We've already paid. We paid payroll. We're starting to pay payroll again right now.
Yes, for the 30th. The PPP covered through the 15th of August. So
yeah, PPP is over.
Payroll's back. But okay, so we have about 8,000 cash in bank. Do you?
Yeah.
And there's probably no big change to the accounts payable, right? It's still well over 700. Anything else in that area you'd like to let us know right now?
Well, because of these 3 weeks of, you know, really low revenue, I'm projecting that my August deficit for that specific month of August is going to be high. You know, I'm just waiting yet to see, but I think it's going to be close to 60,000-70,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. The 60,000-70,000 deficit. Okay.
Yeah, in August, that's going to hurt us. Up to now, we were really doing rather decently. I mean, rather well. You know, like this, like. I mean, obviously, you know, I just want you to know, understand that WBI, you know, functions on a day-to-day basis. Like, if, you know, if you have a bad day or bad week, a bad 2 weeks, you know, it changes a lot of stuff. You know, like, you know, if you have, like, 3 good weeks in a row, it changes stuff, you know. So we like on a cash basis. We are evaluating.
Hand to mouth, yes.
Yeah. We are evaluating, you know, we're doing a lot of specials, you know, good programming coverage, women's suffrage 100 year. We're going to probably do this Friday, the March on Washington anniversary, you know. So, you know, we'll do whatever we have to do to make up for that, but it's going to be hard. I also followed up on the $200,000 bequest, and they're getting back to me. There's another bequest that came in after that. We have no idea how much it is. And so they were getting back to me on that also. And then we know we have about another $10,000 or $12,000 of small bequests. They need, you know, more documentation, you know, from national office or from the powers that be to say that, you know, John Hancock makes it very hard for you to collect on your bequest. They want all kinds of proof. And, of course, we have a $10,000 bequest that we receive and that we have to send back because it says WBAI Radio instead of Pacifica WBAI. Alex and I, we went to the bank yesterday to change all of that so that they can recognize us as doing business as all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, we want to upgrade our banking, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of advantages we're supposed to be getting. Our banking system and structure has not been updated for 20 years. And so as a small, medium business, you know, Chase needs to, you know, clean up our banking system and set it up, you know, with whatever modern technology and equipment and whatever rules and regulations they have nowadays so that we can be up to date. And so, you know, On top of that, I am looking at right now, actually, over, you know, like, I don't know, 300 emails in premiums, dealing with premiums, premiums questions and answers. So that usually generates money also, but Andrew is gone. I'm dealing with an intern / no longer intern, graduated person who's helping here and there. And I need to really, like, you know, dedicate some time to following up on those emails because these are money. People who wanted to pledge and different stuff like that that we need to follow up on.
Yes. Have you factored into it the fact that this is August and this is a time when we generally have a low point in getting any money?
Yeah, I definitely factored that.
Have you compared to last year?
Yes, I compared to last year, yeah. By the way, month to month...
Is this worse than last year or better or what?
I don't remember where my papers are. I should have had that ready. My laptop ran out of juice, and I left my cord at the station. Let me see if I can find it. I had a very nice analysis.
This is a big deal. Hurricane Warren is set to make landfall in a few hours.
Okay, so...
Wait, somebody has a radio or TV on in the background. Could they mute that, please? All right, go ahead, Bertolt.
Okay, so I did an analysis of... you know what? I'll send this also to the Finance Committee. I did a little analysis from January 2018... to January 2019, and, well, from January 2018 to December 2018 compared to January 2019 to you know, August 2019. You know, August, you know, is not in yet. But if you take out the bequests and grants, and then you're just looking at revenue, this year so far we have raised $75,436.44 more than in last year from January to August. So, you know, month to month we have raised more money. In July we raised $48,000 more than last year. In August we are $56,000 less than last year. Yeah. So overall, July and August is even. So between July and August versus July and August of last year, we are even. We are even so far. So I'm still waiting for this last week of August, this week, to include in that data.
So into the staff.
Yeah.
All right. Other questions from people?
Pat.
Yeah.
The ring for the staff, and how much time is left?
Well, Jeffrey, what do you got?
About 15 minutes.
Okay, for the stack, I have Serene Roberts and Pat Logan. Go ahead, Serene Roberts.
I'm fine with Pat speaking. I don't think she's spoken yet for the meeting.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. They're told us today with Fran's special, she gave a different title to give to the call center when people were pledging for the books. She gave a different title than just using the title of the books because they're long and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And she only gave it once. I only heard it once. So even if she gave it twice, she didn't give it very often. And when when it was given during the middle and the end of the special, they only announced the names of the books, but that was not how Fran said that the call center would be able to recognize it. So I think you're going to find a whole bunch of people
email.
They tried.
Yeah.
They tried to get the books. They couldn't. The call center. We said we don't know what you're talking about because she didn't. They didn't give the short title that they were using to differentiate the two books. One was Elections something, and the other one.
No,
was...
I know what they are. I'm the one who registered
okay.
them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the one who registered them for her last night. I think she friend. You know, I don't want to talk about
she
her.
She kept getting disconnected.
Yeah, she yeah, she was also getting disconnected a lot.
And the other the
problem is like she's you know she was overthinking this too much. You know, like just give the premiums names and they would have been fine.
The other
you
host
know,
was very good, but she didn't. She must have not known this information. And so I think you're going to get a lot of people that weren't able to pledge for their books, and hopefully, you know,
well,
they'll complain and they'll be able
on,
to
I will
straighten
follow
it out.
Up on the, yeah, I will follow up on the calls and find out what happened. But, you know, they were like four premiums. You know, it was very simple. One of them was a DVD, and then the DVD was... Yeah, the DVD and two books, and then there was a package. You know, the DVD was for 70. The DVD was for $75, and the books. I mean, they were for $60 and $75, right?
Okay.
So
right.
Yeah, so the DVD was for there's two DVD sets for $75. It's called The Vote. So, and then a special on CBS, and then a women's suffrage movement, suffrage, women's long battle to the vote, and
yeah.
And then the package for $150. They were, the book was $60 each. I think you know it's you know suffrage was fine enough. Like somebody typed suffrage, those two things would come: women's long battle to vote and the women's suffrage movement. But she overthinking it. No, she just should say what they are.
Okay,
you know,
I'm sorry. Point of order. Point of order.
Yes, what's the point of order?
I don't think we need to get into granular criticisms of what a producer could have done better. The pitching should be practiced off air. That's a PD
right.
job. Not
I've
a finance
told you,
committee.
You're going to follow up on this, right?
You're
going to follow
yeah,
up
I'll,
on
I'll follow up on the emails.
Of those books and things, and with the call center, right?
Yeah, I follow up on the emails to make sure that anybody who wanted to pledge
okay.
gives us the money. Yeah.
All right, so the next person in the stack is Serene Roberts.
Okay, thanks. So I have a, you know, we do have, we skew old in Pacifica in terms of listeners. The last time there was a survey, people were over, most of the listeners were over 65, and we really need to do things to get the younger demographic represented throughout the system. And I do have some other questions that I would have liked to ask, but I think we're probably running out of time. So I'm going to focus on the fact that for some of the stations, you know, large bequests or a large amount in total bequests, have really made a difference over the past few years. I think last year it made a very big difference for K, for A for the past 2 years. It's made a big difference. But, you know, we prefer our supporters to be alive and listening, but we appreciate the money. But I do have a concern, which is how bequests are handled. And as much as anyone else, I would like us to be, you know, out of debt and having handled all our bills, et cetera. But I think that the bylaws do put a specific role with regard to funds within the purview of the LSB, in that we are supposed to approve the budget and we're supposed to review the spending every quarter. So it doesn't make sense to me that they would ask, someone needs to mute. It doesn't make sense to me that we would have such involvement as a board in the planning. In the planning to spend money and review of how money was spent, but not have a role when, you know, amounts that could conceivably be larger than our budget, you know, just sort of end up in our laps. So I think that is an oversight that should be addressed.
And to that end, I would like to offer a motion, because when we're discussing the budget, we're talking about, oh, there's 30,000 in this line and there was 20,000 there last year, or, you know, whatever the case is. But we get a $200,000 bequest and the board has no say in how it's spent. And that to me is illogical. I think, I don't know what the policies used to be, but there's a need for a policy now, I think. And also, we know we have an issue when money comes in to the network. And we had a huge incident about 5 years ago where a large bequest was spent, and there were, and it is still disputed about what the donor's intention was. Was it supposed to have been for a particular station? Was it supposed to have been for the national office? What do the words Pacifica Foundation mean when it shows up in a will? And so the motion that I just sent to the finance listserv is intended to address that. So I sent it. Who's not on the listserv? Berthold, are you on the listserv? Do you get that stuff, or do
yeah.
I need to send it to you? Okay.
You can send it to me, because I don't have my laptop with me. I have my regular loan name.
So send it to your BAI address?
Berthold@BAI.org, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is there anybody else who's on the call? Anybody else who's on the call that needs to see it? Because, you know, I prefer to see things.
Oh, you can see it even if you're not on the committee?
I will email it to you right now, is what I'm saying.
You're going to make a motion here. This looks like a very
big
motion.
Yes, I'm going to make a motion, and I just sent it to the committee. But I'm trying to find out if there's someone else. I probably have your address.
I'd like to see it.
Okay, so that's been sent. Here it is. The WBAI LSB Finance Committee recommends to the WBAI LSB that it urge the Pacifica National Board to consider the following motion. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation, a.k.a. Pacifica Foundation, Inc., is a single organization with 5 broadcast stations and other units, whereas most Pacifica members are connected to the foundation as a result of the programming on their local station, be it hereby resolved that where a bequest says, quote, Pacifica, but does not specifically name a station or unit, after retention of 5% by and for the national office, credit for funds or assets shall be booked, if you will, to the station where the donors would have had a simple terrestrial listening experience or established a donating relationship. Should a relatively current donor relationship exist with more than one station, the amount after the national 5% shall be divided between / among the relevant stations. And further, whereas a station budget is a spending plan aligned with anticipated and proven income and reflects the organization's needs and priorities, and whereas by requiring that the local station board approve the station's budget annually and review its fiscal performance quarterly, the bylaws make clear that the LSB is to have a major role in the financial operations of its station. And, ooh, my eyes are getting bad. And whereas the PNB has the final word on all units' budgets, be it hereby resolved that upon receipt of any funds via a bequest or an unexpected source, oh, geez, someone want to take over reading for me? The general manager shall notify the full LSB in writing of the amount, the source, unless confidentiality is required, or warranted, any restrictions, and his or her proposed use, and that the LSB offices are to call an LSB meeting to occur within 10 days of the manager's notice to review and vote on the plan. And the LSB shall inform the PNB of its recommendations within 3 days of that meeting, and that upon receipt of any funds / assets directed to the affiliate program or the archives via a bequest or any unexpected source, the unit head shall prepare a proposed plan of use and deliver it to the executive director within 2 days for review and transmission to the PNB by the third day. Should such monies be explicitly gifted or granted to the national office, the ED shall deliver his or her plan to the PNB within 3 days. In all instances, the PNB shall review and vote within 8 days of receipt of a plan. And lastly, that the PNB secretary shall promptly distribute the approved version of this motion to each unit's head and business manager, all LSB officers, each LSB finance committee chair, and for integration into the appropriate section of the Pacifica Foundation Financial Policy and Procedure Manual to the chief financial officer. This motion supplements and does not replace the existing motion, which requires that a percentage of all, quote, windfall monies be used to address the approximately $3.1 million loan expense. That's the motion.
Okay. Did you skip a piece there? Because I was reading along, and then suddenly you read something else. All right.
Well, I didn't do so intentionally, but you have it in front of you.
All right. Well, do you want to motivate us?
Well, I guess I kind of motivated beforehand, but I'll say now again, you know, not just because we're in a pandemic, not just because our money has been, you know, going really low, and had it not been for, you know, some generous donors leaving money for Pacifica, BAI, the national office, certainly KPFA, KPFK, you know, would have been in rougher straits in the past couple of years. I don't really know what's happening in D.C. and Houston, but, you know, again, I assume there are people who love Pacifica who also die there. You know, but we can't afford. It's good. It's good to have it. And every manager should have their wish list, their, you know, if I had another $500,000, this is what I'd do. If I had another $1 million, this is what I'd do. They should always have those lists ready, waiting for the opportunity to support our stations in a grander manner. But monies that come, quote, come out of nowhere can't just go wherever. We still have priorities. We still have bills. We still have to have a discussion about how it goes. And this just sets a framework. And certainly, as I said, you know, there's rancor going back 5 years about how a certain bequest was distributed and who could prove what and who said what and who sent what when. And, you know, we can avoid that by actually having a policy. And this goes back to, my God, to Manager Sabah, whom I certainly have not heard from in I don't know how many years, you know, and the discussions about needing to put a bequest policy in place. So we need to do a lot more in Pacifica, but I think this is a good place to start.
Okay. This is a really big motion with a lot of stuff in it. Mr. Timekeeper, how are we on time?
We have about a minute left.
I think this is a big thing here, so I'm going to make a motion to postpone this to the next meeting. So I move to postpone it to the next meeting. I think we need to read this more and, you know, deal with it then. So there's a motion on the floor to postpone to the next meeting. Any debate?
I object, and I would also like to extend for 10 minutes.
Oh, you're unpacking the furniture. Okay.
Okay, so you want to extend. All right, so there's a motion to extend for, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
I said 10, but I think 15 is probably better. Can you ask that person to mute?
Or anything? You want to remind me what it costs? Is that the $1,000?
Jack, I think we can hear you. Might want to mute, Jack. All right, there's a motion.
Either that or give up the furniture.
There's a motion to extend this item by 15 minutes. Is there any objection to extending for 15 minutes?
No.
Well, is there any objection to extending for 15 minutes?
No.
Okay, hearing none. Looks like we're extended for 15 minutes. And Mr. Timekeeper, I have 2037. All right. So the motion on the floor right now is to postpone this big motion to the next meeting. Any debate on that?
Well, I have a question. for right. Jim Sargenton and Paul. Didn't the national office and the national board come up with a motion or something that's officially, you know, in place already to say how much they're going to, when they get bequests, how it gets spent, like a percentage of it goes to the loan, X percentage, and then this and that. I mean, I don't know what it is exactly, but I know there's something like that right out there.
Well, actually, James Sagerton, if he's still on here, is on the PNB, so we could say definitively, I think. James, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, there is such a motion, and I believe Serene's motion addresses that down toward the end, where she says it's meant to supplement, not replace, the PMB motion. I'm speaking from memory here because I haven't located the exact spot where it is.
But there is
a motion saying that 30% of windfalls from, you know, such things as bequests or other windfalls that we may get would go to pay the quote-unquote big loan. And this, I think she did address that, and it's meant to supplement it, correct? Serene?
Yeah, I said that in the last paragraph.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay. So that answers Bertolt's question. All right. Anything further on the motion to postpone?
This is James.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. This is, you know, a lot, and I think we do need to absorb it. I think it would have been, with things of this import, it would be good in the future to get it out in perhaps in advance of the meeting so that we could study it. It's difficult to consider this amount, you know, significant of a motion. I recognize a lot of the issues in it, and I do agree that we need policy on it, but I would like to consider it and possibly pass it around among some other people before we go ahead to a vote, because, you know, there may be a reason to amend it or reasons that there might be some difficulties in the details. So I would agree with the motion to postpone.
Okay, anybody else
Serene?
On the motion to
yeah.
postpone?
Can
and
William, can
you hear me?
Okay, here, Wagon, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's fine if William speaks, but
first?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you when you've spoken on it.
You
so
didn't acknowledge hearing me, and
I don't think I spoke
to the postponement, but it's fine. As I said, it's fine, but you didn't acknowledge having heard me. I'd like to speak to the issue of postponement when William is done.
This is James with a point of personal privilege.
Yes, James.